Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners, and this is Sandra Bueno with Live and Learn Enterprises and the Power to Be You show. And today is Thursday, the 21st of February. We are continuing on with the Author Empowerment Series, and this show is about bringing awareness, empowerment, testimonies, and skills, tools to help you go forward in the direction of your life, to help you make distinctions about where you are, where you want to go. And I have been featuring empowering authors for the past 2 weeks, and they have all been able to bring something to you and to us that is different than what we have been listening or seeing out there in our society. And all of these authors have their own books. You are urged to download the archives, to look and listen, to apply. And today's show, today's guest is no different. However, what I need to add is that this truly, truly is just out of my heart. It is something that is resounding with me so internally, because wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever part of the world you are listening to me and to our show today, you will be gifted with so much information and distinctions and awareness that you are going to be able to apply this to your own life, to the life of anyone you deal with, and most specifically, to the children you are coming in contact with. And before I present to you our guest, as I am so eager to have her already be talking, I'd like to say that her book specifically, it comes from years of working with children, working with families, working with parents, and her specialty is with ADHD and ADD children. However, her book, it reads like the Bible of parenting. This book, even if you are not a parent, if you are an educator, if you are a youth worker, if you are a regular individual, a person, you will want to take this book into your hands and look at every chapter of 20 chapters and outline the 12 tools, the skills, because this is completely about how we are to live our lives in relationship to helping someone else. We must first know the knowledge in order to transfer that knowledge to other people. So in order to give you, to allow Jadra Heimer to come in here and just really gift us with all of her knowledge and everything that she has, I'd like to give you a brief introduction about Jadra. She is a child and family consultant. She is an educator. For nearly 30 years, she has taught and worked with children and parents at many levels. She spent 11 years teaching college education courses, including educational psychology, behavior management, and cognitive development. She has also worked as a family intervention specialist in both New Mexico and Colorado, reuniting families in crisis. Her specialty is ADD and ADHD. Jadra and her husband Rick live with their 5 children in Utah. Jadra is an author. She is a passionate individual. She is a woman who just has her heart out there for her work, for helping children evolve and develop, for helping children have a different voice in this life. And I would say that you listening to us would agree that we must take action, and we must empower ourselves with tools and knowledge that will help us help our children. And Jadra is this special being. So I welcome Jadra on the line. And Jadra, I would also like to give the listeners the phone number for them to call in. The number is 646-716-8620. If you'd like to ask any questions of Jadra at our half-hour point, I will try to honor those calls, even though we'd also like to get Jadra in and allow her to talk. But we will be putting together a program to go into her book and further things going forward. But Jadra, welcome on Power to Be You.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'm happy to be here.
It's a pleasure, and I'm so excited because your book, Turn Your Child's ADHD Stress into Success, Discover the Drug-Free Approach of RARE, R-A-R-E, This is your creation. This is your knowledge, your insight. This is 30 years in the making, and it is just such a gift to be able to have met you and to be able to share you and your knowledge with the Blog Talk community that I will tell you is extending right now all the way to Africa and the Netherlands. And there are parents, and there are single parents, and there are adopted parents who are listening. There are friends. There are educators. So I really feel that this is very empowering. So thank you as well.
Oh, you bet.
Well, I know that you just recently, last week, you also attended a conference. The conference dealt with the brain and learning. To begin, would you be able to tell me what that message was that you received from these neuroscientists and educators? What was it that you basically came out of that seminar with?
Well, it was that our brains are powerful tools that can empower us to be successful in life and to accomplish all of the things that we want to, that we can do a great number of things to help our children develop their power of using their brains and enable them to be successful academically, emotionally, and in all areas of life.
Okay, and how did, I know you and I spoke about the actual program that you use, the actual tools that you are using, the neural biofeedback system that you use. Can you explain that? Because a lot of this, if we are not knowledgeable about it, we become very clinical and we get hung up. But you explain it so simply, and it's just such simple tools that we can all use, that it would be great for you to share that so people automatically will relax and say, okay, this is easy for me to understand and it's very doable.
So you want me to start with the neurofeedback?
Well, yes. You know, actually, you have a center and you've been working with children, most specifically children who have ADD and ADHD. Could you tell us about that, what you have come across, what you have seen, and how the transformation has taken place?
We have a number of children that come into our center who are struggling in so many areas of their life. When they have ADD, ADHD, and certain learning disabilities, it makes it difficult for them to be successful academically. They will often have social and emotional challenges and just challenges with life skills in general. And so what we look at is a way of helping to empower them to be successful, and the neurofeedback is just one of those tools, and it is cognitive biofeedback. It is a computer-based program that allows them to develop certain areas of the brain. Children that have ADD, ADHD, and certain learning disabilities typically have an excessive amount of theta brainwave, which is what we call the slow, sleepy, out-to-lunch brainwave. And we all have excessive amounts of that when it's late at night, we're tired, or very early in the morning. And when we wake up and we have breakfast, shower, eat, our brain should adjust and decrease that amount of theta brainwave. And it should also increase the beta brainwave, which is the alert, focused brainwave, and is a brainwave that is typically low in children with ADD. So what the neurofeedback does is it is a computer-based program that the children play a game on the computer, but there is no joystick. The game is totally controlled by their mind and their brainwaves. An electrode is placed on the attention center of the brain and each ear, and as the child plays the game and they are alert and focused, their theta brainwave will go down and their beta will go up and the object on the screen will move. And as they do that, they get reinforced both visually and auditorily, and they get points. Eventually, the brain sees that that's what it's supposed to be doing, and it also can tell that it's being able to focus better, to pay better attention, and it literally empowers the child then at some point adjust their brainwave whenever they need to so that they can focus and pay attention.
See, when you told me about how this actual technique worked, it came after I had just had on my last show Deborah, who is a quadriplegic, and she is actually going to be receiving a biofeedback system to help her, or technique, to help her muscles engage so that she'll be able to recover and use her body and become mobile. So, you know, I understood immediately. One of the things that I find about what you are doing, what you are bringing, and the help that you're giving to these children and to parents with the education that you have, is that it really relates to, you know, the bottom line, what's at the core of a child's behavior? What is it that is leading them to display the tendencies and the characteristics that are normally associated with the label of ADD or ADHD? And, you know, this is something that you say, you know, you say it right at the beginning, right at the introduction. You say, if you want to see the greatest progress in your child's success, you must first address the physical and chemical contributors to his ADHD. And why this is so, to me, it's so important is because I come from the coaching, the youth coaching, the personal development arena, supported by my spirit and faith in God and purpose of who we are as human beings. And I see such similarities. I see such parallels. I see how, you know what, we as human beings, you know, if we do not find that place or that circumstance that supports us, that supports our well-being, that supports our body, that supports our love, our heart, you know, our emotions, we will react and we will speak the best way we know how. And this is where I look at this and I say, my gosh, this is so, you know, this is advice that it's good for every person to understand, to acknowledge, you know, whether you are a parent of a child or whether you are an adult, because you were a child once, and if things happened in your life that you didn't realize or you did not resolve or hurt you, you will be, as an adult, sending that out and relating to people's situations and things in ways that can be characterized as, well, you have an issue, well, you have a problem, where you're depressed, where you have, you know, anxiety, you have angry management, you have this, and this. So, you know, I want to let the listeners know also that there's a parallel between what you bring and what I have been advocating on Power to Be You, which is that each person has the choice, and that there's the awareness that we all have, that there are skills and tools and education that once you embrace it and you're open to it, you can apply it to make a difference in your life.
That's correct. All of the contributors to the ADD and ADHD, there are about 30 different possible contributors, and not necessarily causes. There's the ADHD characteristics, but there are things that can intensify those characteristics to the point that they become a problematic in the child's life and create stress and difficulty.
Now, what would that be? What would some of those things be?
Okay, well, we have found that one of the top contributors is a deficiency in neurotransmitters, and the neurotransmitters are the messengers in the brain that tell the brain what it's supposed to be doing and when it's supposed to be doing it. And if there is a deficiency in those neurotransmitters, then the brain can't do the job that it needs to. Two other big factors that can contribute ADHD characteristics, and a child may not actually have true ADHD but will have the characteristics, or if they do have ADHD, these characteristics will intensify, are sleep deficits and blood sugar imbalances. And with sleep deficits, we see a huge impact on sleep deprivation. And the National Institute of Health states that sleep deprivation can cause a decrease in focused attention and increase in hyperactivity, and it also affects the emotional state of the child and their ability to control their impulses and to make good decisions. And you'll see the same type of characteristics if the child has any type of blood sugar fluctuation as well. So if they go without eating meals, if they have too much sugar or carbs in their system. And I do want to point out that there are experts who say that sugar doesn't affect a child's behavior, but that may be true for some children, but for children who do not have the ability to assimilate sugar, it affects them in tremendous ways, and it can affect their behavior, their ability to think, and their emotions. And we see huge improvement in children if the parents address these two issues alone, getting their children, I call it fed into bed, getting them to bed on time and making sure that their blood sugar stays stable.
See, and these are those two characteristics or those two contributing factors. Those are normal things that we would do if we are aware of, you know, of our, of what is right and what is not right for our kids. It's, you know, I know that you, when you and I talked and we met a few weeks ago at the, in Philadelphia at the author crash course, we touched upon, you know, parents who come to you and who do not know how to, how the skills, who do not have the skills on how do I deal with this? How do I deal with a child when my child's lashing out or my child is, it's undergoing these, you know, these attacks or these behavioral issues? And you pointed out a story of where a, you know, there was a couple who basically they took the child off medicine and, you know, their next answer was, what was it? You said put the child back on medicine.
Right. If some parents have difficulty going through that transition, if they want to take them off medication, they may have some challenges. And that's one of the services that we offer, is walking them through those steps of going from medication to non-medication. And it's very important for parents to be aware that if their child is on medication, they can't just go from medication to nothing. It will be an absolute nightmare. That you have to give the child what he needs, put in the body either the neurotransmitters, if they may need the neurofeedback, to make sure that their blood sugar is stable, the sleep. There's many factors that play into the success of the non-drug approach. And it's not just about what they eat. As I said, there's 30 different contributing factors. And so it's, those are addressed not only in the book, but then when we do one-on-one consultations with parents, we go through all of those factors to see which may be playing a role in their child's challenges that they're having.
See, this is, I read where you talk about in discussing medication and the side effects of it, which often seems to be, you know, the easy road is not the best road oftentimes. And I will have to say that, you know what, my own personal issue, you know, with medication is that I think the body has a way to recover, and a lot of it is energy, a lot of it is stress, a lot of it is, you know, it's what's not happening in our lives and how do we relate. And, you know, if we could stay away from medicine, if we can opt to use natural and we can opt to just allow our bodies to recover and help our bodies rather than prohibit or inhibit the natural process, you know, I think that's especially in a young life where their muscles, where their brain, where everything is just developing. You know, in this case, it bleeds my heart because I think there's so many people who, because they are not aware of possible solutions or things that are not, you know, immediately provided by the Western medicine or by a doctor, you know, they do not look elsewhere and look at something like your program. And to look and say, you know what, rather than giving my child medicine, let me opt for these, for becoming educated. Let me opt for talking in a group, for finding out what has worked for other people without going right away to the medicine. You know, you speak about an 8-year-old who was having academic and emotional problems. Even though he was on a multitude of medications, he started off with ADHD medication. Then he got tics, so he was given the medication for that. That's two. Another side effect was decreased appetite. Well, then they gave him a medication for that. That's three. He also began having difficulty sleeping, so he was prescribed another medication for that. That's four. In addition, he became depressed, and so he was also on antidepressant. You know, that combination of medicine is enough to take you one step further. And, you know, you say here the good news is that after entering our program and switching to a non-drug approach, this boy got off his medications and is finally experiencing success. And that to me is like, you know, I have to just, you know, honor you and honor the people you work with, because that's saving already a child's life right there that was destined to already be on a journey that didn't have to be, because he's bringing so many chemicals into his system.
Right. And one thing I do want to say is there are some parents that have gone to medication because they couldn't find anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I don't ever want to put down those parents, because if they had no other option, they didn't know what else to do. For some of them, it was the only way that they and their child could survive.
Yeah.
But just a little bit of background, I have 5 children of my own that have ADHD characteristics, and one of them very severely. And from actually age 6 months, I was told that drugs was the only route we would be able to go. And I did not want to go that route, and I kept searching for other options, and finally took a 2-year sabbatical to do nothing but research on ADHD and non-drug options. And that is what led us to learning about the different things that parents can do to help their child to not have to go the medication route. And with the medication, it may help some of the symptoms, but 2 of the largest side effects of ADHD medication are decreased appetite and sleep difficulties, both of which lead to difficulty paying attention, concentrating, remembering, dealing with emotions, which are the characteristics that are supposed to be being downplayed rather than accentuated. And the approach that we use is saying we need to put in the body what it was lacking in the first place that caused these problems, rather than just using medication that masks the symptoms. And so it empowers parents to be able to take care of the causes rather than just addressing the symptoms. So as opposed to if someone has a brain tumor, you can give them medication to kill the pain, but it doesn't take care of the tumor that's growing inside them. And
exactly.
So we want to address that.
Now, you say you address the causes, not just addressing the issue, and that aligns to, in the coaching world, it's about, you know, well, first of all, becoming aware about what it is that you have, which is, again, you and I discussed the labeling. You know, for me, I become a little radical because I do believe in, you know, the labels can actually, you could take it both ways, the choice and meaning. If you have a label, automatically you can use that as a descriptor about your characteristics, your personality, who you are, your situation, you know, and you can also fall underneath it where now you use it as a crutch and you say, well, here's my, you know, here's the emblem, here's my award, here's my trophy, this is what I have. You see, this is what I have, therefore look at my behavior. Therefore, look, this is what the doctors say, this is what's medically there. And it helps to categorize a person or a thing or a situation. Now, the other side is, as a person that's under that label, are you going to use that label and, you know, keep yourself from moving forward because of that? Or are you going to use that label and now empower yourself so that knowing what you have or what you are told that you have, you know, doing what you did, of course not taking 2-year sabbatical, but finding out about it. How do I deal with it? What else can I do? What are alternative cares? What is, you know, what type of work can I do? Who can I connect with? You know, that's where I say, you know, as far as a label, you know, of it not to serve, not to be at the service to a person, but to use it as a, you know, as a positive reinforcer to say, okay, if I have this, you know what, I have it, but let me make my life better, let me go forward, let me increase my chances so I don't succumb to the negative effects.
Right,
of this
and
life.
That's what we say is it's just to be used to as a diagnosis, not as a limitation.
Exactly.
And it's just like if you had a child who had diabetes, you would need to know that's what they have so that you would know that they can't have too much sugar, what they can eat.
Exactly.
And then if you don't know what they have, you don't know what to do to empower them to succeed. You don't know what adjustments you need to make. You don't know what things you need to do so that they can still have a very full, successful life. And that's the point of the reason that we use freely the term ADHD. It means because of this, these are some challenges you have, but let us give you the tools that will empower you to triumph over those challenges.
And that is just, that to me is just, it's so amazing. What is the reaction of parents who come to you? How does that work? How, you know, where are their feelings like
well,
when they...
Let me tell you, I have them, they fall, into two or three categories. The first category is the parent that comes in and they say, they come in and they're crying, they're distressed, I don't know what to do, you're our last hope. And they want me to wave my magic wand and fix their child. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. There is work involved. And for the parents who just want the magic purple pill, this approach is not for them because it does require the parents to roll up their sleeves and get to work. There are things that they need to do to address the chemical and physical contributors to their child's challenges. There's four components to the success, and that's the first one. The second one is the interactions that we use with our children. And the approach that we use is RARE, which is an acronym for Respect, Accept and Adapt, Relate and Empower. And this will sometimes require the parents to make changes in their behavior. And they may also have to make changes in the environment, in scheduling, make adjustments in how they respond to their child. And so for parents who want us to just fix their child, they'll hear what the approach is and they'll turn and run. For those who say, whatever it takes to help my child have a happy, successful life, I will do it. If it requires me rolling up my sleeves and working a little harder, if it requires me making some changes in the way I interact with my child or the way I approach things, I'll do it. Those who have that approach have incredible success. And so that's pretty much the categories that we see parents are in.
Now, do some parents actually walk away and say, you know what, I can't deal with this, just
right.
There's nothing
I can do
about it?
There's some of them that are at a point in their life where either they don't want to mentally have to make any changes. Others are at a point where they either don't want to or think they can't make any behavioral changes. But we're willing to walk them through it step by step, and sometimes it starts with baby steps. Sometimes it starts with just changing a few things. But no matter what circumstance they're in, with the help that we give and the step-by-step approach that we use, any parent, if they choose to, can be successful with this.
And usually about, depending, I guess this would be very independent of each child, but how long can, when can you actually start seeing a difference once they begin a program?
It totally varies from child to child and also how much the parents put into it. So, for instance, if there are a lot of physical and chemical contributors to the child and they're having meltdowns and flip-outs and they're due to the chemical components, until you address those, you won't see a whole lot of change even with the parents changing their behavioral approach. Because if a child is, for instance, has a low serotonin level, that's one of the important neurotransmitters, and it's the neurotransmitter that greatly affects emotions, which the emotions, of course, in turn affect behavior. And so if a child has a very low serotonin level, they're the ones that are prone to the flip-outs and the meltdowns. And when they're in that flip-out or meltdown, no matter what you're saying to them, it may have no effect on them because they are so far gone they can't even hear what you say, or if they hear it, they can't do anything to apply it. They can't grab hold of it. And so that's the first thing that must be addressed, is that. And then we work with the behavioral components, but you can see a change in a matter of days. We have students that come to our center. We also have a full-day academic program in place of public school, so they come to us for that. We have children who have been kicked out of other schools, who have been in psychiatric units, who have been in residential treatment programs, who were labeled with oppositional defiant behavior disorder. They come to us, and within a week, you could come in and you would not be able to pick them out from any other child. That's only the ones who the parents were also doing the things that they needed to do at home.
See, you mentioned the story of a little girl, and you used that term, the meltdown. Do you remember the story of the little girl that was left in your school and how she was basically just putting her head on the table and how she was so upset and crying and her mom was crying and then what happened and how she basically was able to, you know, what basically she was able to do after she finished your program, I believe it was that story?
Yes, uh-huh. And she went into shutdown quite a bit. She came to us from she had been in a residential treatment center, and then she had also been in a children's psychiatric ward. Unfortunately, the reason she was placed there wasn't because her parents were bad parents. It wasn't because she was a bad child. A big portion of it was, one, it was the medication that she was on created chemical imbalance that really whacked out her behavior and her ability to control her emotion, and the other was that she didn't have the tools that she needed to deal with those things. And the people that worked with her were using a lot of what I call the mainstream approach, which is different from the approach that we use. And so when she came to us, she had been told by numerous doctors and psychologists she had some prefrontal damage to her brain and difficulties, and they told the parents, don't expect much of her. She is not capable. She's not capable of doing anything academically or emotionally. Do not require her to do anything that she doesn't want to do because she will just go into shutdown. And so we began working with the parents and working with them on addressing the physical and chemical contributors. Then we also started using the 12 tools of empowerment with this girl. And when she first came in to us, she would either be laying her body across the table or she'd be underneath the table laying down, could not do any work whatsoever, and we had to have the teacher sit next to her and just do one sentence at a time. And then finally do one sentence, and the teacher would walk away and have her do the next one. We kept working with her, and not long ago, the students put on a presentation for the parents where each student had picked a country to research, write a report about, type up the report, create a bulletin board and a diorama of their country, and then give the presentation to the parents. And this girl did all of her work totally independently on her research, on all of the work. She was the first one done, and without any shutdown or anything, she proudly presented to the parents, and her mom and dad stood there with tears running down their face as they saw where she had been and where she was now.
Wow. That's a story that stays in your heart, because you know, it just seems that, you know, there are always the two sides of the story. There's the one side that is good, and you know how you can take one person from a limiting stage in their life and help them move to a different place where they are empowered and where they're able to help themselves or at least have a better, more comfortable situation. Or you have the other side where, you know, if you don't look for those solutions or if you're not aware, you know, you really can't make a change, and then you have a child who's suffering in the process.
Right, and we have so many of the parents that come in to us and basically they had given up hope and thought there was nothing else that could be done to help their children, and we hear over and over and over, "You saved my child's life, you saved my child's life." And one parent said, "You saved my child's life," and then she stopped and she said, "No, you gave my child a life."
Wow.
And that's the whole point.
See, now it's up to people like yourself, like myself and the contributors who have come on this, to share that information so that other people can be empowered to having it. You know, as I look in your book, there's something that just, you know, when you mentioned the 12 tools, I actually have it open to 12 tools, which is, number one, set the stage. Two, tune in. Three, be consistent and follow through. Four, use the no hurt rule, problem solve and negotiate. Five, clarify. Six, stay calm, cool, and collected. Seven, use the S's. Eight, use the do or and if you want to, comma, then statements. Nine, teach your child self-management. 10, help your child develop emotional maturity. 11, use the APE, which is an acronym for assess, problem solve, experiment, and evaluate process. And then lastly, select consequences that create a solution. When you look at this, this is something that every single parent needs to look at and says, okay, how do I relate to my child? How can I use this information to help him so that he doesn't start displaying these tendencies, so that he doesn't, you know, go down this journey? Or how can I minimize the symptoms that he's showing? How can I guide him so that he doesn't end up in a place where he has to feel that, you know, no one understands him, or no one relates to him, or he can't relate to others, or school's overwhelming, or, you know, I just think this can also be used just as a preventative measure to just help us really help our children, empower our children.
Oh, absolutely. It is universal for all children. And as we were talking before, the goal of these 12 tools of empowerment is to help our child have success in life. And the definition of success that we use is accomplishing those things that lead to progress, fulfillment, peace, and joy in life. And I think that as parents, that's what we all want for our children.
Oh, you said it. This is what we want for ourselves.
Yes, and ourselves. And I was going to say the 12 tools work for ourselves too, and that is one of the things that I mentioned in the book, is that it's absolutely crucial for the parents to take care of their needs first so that they can meet the needs of their children. Now, that doesn't mean taking care of our selfish wants and desires, but we have basic needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs. We need to address those and make sure that everything is in place with them so that we're in the best position to be of help to our children.
You know what, it really brings to mind what is evident out there that, you know, and it's unfortunate that many times we need to wait for something to happen that puts us off our daily program, that, you know, either an injury or a medical, you know, incident or a financial trauma. Most of the time, we need to have something stir us enough that we're going to wake up and realize and say, wow, I need to take some action. And, you know, this is where I say, rather than waiting for something to happen and something to happen with your child, you know, prepare yourself, equip yourself, bring these things into your life so that as you start seeing your child's behavior, you know, you can mold it, you can modulate it, you can guide it, and you can decrease those tendencies. Because I believe that, you know what, when you say ADHD and I look at the characteristics, I'm like, I think all of us have that. I display some of those tendencies. You know, I'm erratic. I go from one thing to the other and then have to remind myself to go back. And then, you know, I'm looking at neurotransmitters and I'm saying, okay, so are we able to increase our neurotransmitters? Are we able to do something about that, or are we as we are? You know, and I'm reading it and saying, no, you know, with the vitamins and with the right, essential...
Well, the EFAs, but you can actually take the neurotransmitters in capsule form.
See,
or the amino acids that convert to those neurotransmitters.
Yeah, I know I have an audience member out there listening who's right now saying, this is what I've been telling people to do. Especially if you're in the health industry, especially if you're in the coaching industry, where we've heard this. I mean, I've heard it so many times. I attempted to do it, you know, got off the boat, didn't do it. But now that I'm listening to this again, it's like, okay, these are conditions and these are things that we can do, preventative measures, to help ourselves, to help our kids, you know, to help the people that we love, to help those people who are in challenging situations. So this, to me, really, I mean, I love your book. I am so just pleased and blessed to be able to bring this on Power to Be You. You and I are going to be working together to really take this outward within. You live in Utah. I live out in Florida. But, you know, with the power and the invent of you know, this technology that we can use, there is so much that really that can effectively impact so many people nationally and globally, that I think, you know, your book is just a blessing, and it's a gold mine to help individuals, you know, to help people who are in that position of not knowing where to go, how to turn, how to go about it, you know. And then the fact that you do, that you have your school, the fact that you have this program, I just think, you know, I really want to thank you, because it's about creating change and it's about empowering others, and you're hitting it right you know, you're hitting it in we're the place that matters most, and it's in the lives of our kids, because they're the ones who are going to take care of us years from now, and they are the leaders. And if we can't help them get there, then who's going to help them?
No, that is so true. And what we see with the children that we work with is that when there are these challenges and stresses, it doesn't just impact the child, it impacts the entire family. And families create communities, and communities create the nations, and nations create the world. And so if we can make a difference in the lives of children, we're making a difference in the entire world. And that's our goal.
That's, you know what, that's where we are, and I'm so, like, right on, because everyone that's listening to you, you know, I get these emails, and I get people just telling me that you're on the right track, and thank you for bringing this out. And, you know, I just think the more we put it out there, and the more people become aware of what's available, the more we're going to be able to just lock hands and really create a network of where we are contributing. Well, I think oftentimes I work within the education department, as far as I am in tune with different things that happen within it. I volunteer with two different organizations that serve youth. And, you know, I see a lot of the issues, the in-the-box thinking. You know, people who meet, who are in a meeting, kind of discussing and just talking about it and thinking, well, what are we going to do? Well, what do we need? Well, you know, what is our budget like? Well, what about the logistics? And while that type of organization and administrative necessities is part of the process, it's not the actual solution, because while people are talking in a room, there's kids in every classroom, there are kids in the homes, there are children out in the streets, you know, who are being abused, who are unjustly being treated, who are suffering, who are taking medication, whose lives is being cut short. So people like yourself, like myself, and the listeners, we are empowered to step in and make a difference. And whether we go directly to the education board and say, hey, listen, this is the program that I have, I know that they're considering programs. They are considering programs. But we just formulate this idea that, you know, that they are the other side, but there are teachers who want to see a change. There are teachers who want to, you know, who are asking for a different program to be instituted so that kids can be reached, you know, a lot more easily. And, you know, and there's just so much happening out there that I think, I know that we are making a difference, and I know that the more attuned we become to our gifts and what we bring with integrity and with passion, we truly can get out there and leave, you know, and really stir change and make a difference and be the creators.
Yes, and that's what we want to do long term. And if we can just help those children to have joy in their lives and spread that joy to their families and be able to help them to find success, then we've accomplished something just incredible.
Yeah, I'd like to bring this, which is, it made me laugh because it talks about the four types of parenting. What is it? The four types of parenting skills or characteristics?
Right.
And what you do very, very, very interestingly is to create scenarios where you will actually be able to see yourself. And here you have the RARE, your trademark, RARE, the acronym, style of parenting. You have the permissive, the controlling or rigid, the mixed, and what I refer to as RARE. And when you read it, you know, you're able to see, well, if you are a permissive parent, this is how you would handle this situation. Or this is the typical descriptors of how you would be in that moment. The controlling, obviously, will act in a different way. The mixed will do whatever it takes. And then the RARE, which is respect, accept, adapt, relate, and empower, which obviously is the one that you want to, that we all want to aim towards, correct?
Right.
It's very interesting because it really helps you to say, well, what would I do in this situation? And if this is my nature, then how can I adapt my way so that I can be a better leader, a better guide?
Right. And the RARE approach helps to bring out the best in not only the children's behavior, but the parents, and it helps to increase their positive relationship and their ability to be successful in life, because the permissive parenting approach allows the child to have inappropriate control over others, and especially over their parents. The rigid controlling is over-controlling the child, but with RARE you teach the child self-control and mm-hmm. self-management and self-regulation, and those are the skills that he absolutely has to have to be successful.
Wow. Just yesterday I spoke with a person who owns a hair salon for children, and when I told her about you coming on the show and you having this book and your experience, she said, you know what, I see so much of this in all the kids that come. You know, I see throughout the years that I've been there, you know, I look at these kids who have no guidance, who are not taught how to be, who are basically left to their own devices. And what can we expect if we as parents don't intercede and if we don't say, listen, Johnny, you know, this is not correct, or this is not correct because you are causing someone else pain, or because you are disturbing somebody else, and we have to respect ourselves. What would you like? You know, it's that lack of really interacting and even ourselves knowing sometimes what is wrong and what is right and what is acceptable, what is not.
Well, what we're finding is that there are so many parents who really don't know the skills for dealing with their children.
Yeah.
And children today, by and large, are much more strong-willed than in the past. They have so much more that they're up against with society. And it absolutely takes specific knowledge and skills to be successful in parenting today. You can't just let it happen by chance. You have to do specific things. And so there are some parents that say, I have no clue what to do. I can't get my child to mind. I will have parents that will call me and say, I can't get my child to go to bed. What do I do? Or I can't get my child up out of bed. What do I do? And just simple things like that. And they are so desperately needing help. And with a RARE approach, they can not only receive the knowledge and skills, but be able to have a wonderful parent-child relationship and see great success in the things that they're doing in the realm of parenting.
I mean, it's so precise. But you just brought to me the nanny because I watched it.
Yes, and one thing I would like to mention is that there are some parents who maybe use physical punishment, which pretty much any parenting expert you talk to will say that you need to choose other options than that. And they say, but I don't know what else to do. And there are other options. So because at some point in time, the spanking might work, but what happens when your child is like, I have one now that's 170 pounds and a foot taller than I am, well, yeah, that doesn't work at that point.
Yeah.
Or they may try the traditional timeout and grounding and taking away privilege, and they're not seeing success with that. And we have a very unique approach that will enable them to bring out the best in the child's behavior. And so the things that they've tried that they haven't had success with, they will find great success with the RARE approach.
And can that approach be taught across a telephone line? Can that be done?
Oh, absolutely. We can do consultations. We can do by phone. We can do it by email, either way.
Oh, excellent, because it's something that I can see, you know, I can see all of us. I mean, people that truly care, you know, I'm not going to offend anyone, because if you care about children, if you care about creating a right relationship with your child in your home, that peace, you know, I really will say you can be successful in any area of your life, but if at the end of the day your child is in a place that you would rather not have them be, I think that would have to be the most hurtful, you know, the place where it doesn't matter where you are, the accolades you've had, the money you've made, the businesses that you've created, you know, anything. But if your child is, you know, in a bad place in their own lives and they're suffering, you cannot be happy. You can't be, you know, you can't.
There is no greater misery than having your child be miserable. And so that's why we want to offer all the tools and the help that we can. And for some parents, they read the book and they're able to apply everything on their own, and others say, okay, I've read it, but then I get in the heat of the moment and I lose my temper and I need some help walking me through this. And we can do that. We can walk them through it.
You know what? I just had a vision of giving this. You know how they have that book for mothers who are pregnant, that mother
uh-huh.
guide?
Right.
This book needs to be given to expecting parents.
That would be great, so they would know ahead of time how to set things up so that they can have positive outcomes.
This is. It's you know, I know you start them young. You don't start at 7. You don't start at 10. You know, you start them from the beginning because children, I mean, we come programmed. We already have our tendencies. I can tell you from personal experience, I was a single parent. However, I had the advantage and the fortune to have my mother, who she is old school. She's conservative. She's very traditional. She tends to be the controlling type. But yet she was a person who was very much about nurturing my son, teaching him, keeping boundaries, balance. Her, you know, many times we argued because while to me I wanted to take him out and have him driving around with me all day long, she would say, no, he needs to get rest. No, you need to be specific about giving him the food 3 times a day, giving him snacks, and making the food for him. You know, so I always
right.
had her there, and there were situations where I'm also of Latin descent, and I will tell you where discipline and respect is very big. You know, it's lost its effect throughout the years, but it's still, you know, it's still very prevalent in our family and in that ethnic group. But I will tell you that there was one point when she said to me, Sandra, I had to spank your son because he began throwing a tantrum and he began trying to kick her. This is while he was still in diapers. And she said to him, you will not do this again. You will respect. And she spoke to him in a stern voice. She spanked his butt twice. That was the first and last time he ever attempted that. You know, and it wouldn't work now. And she said to me, you cannot do this, because she studied early childhood development. She said, you cannot do this. You know, by the age of 5 or so, children will remember. Children will know. You know, the effect of you doing the spanking at the beginning is because they learn about authority. And this is why you're able to come in now and mold them so that when you tell them, sit here and stay here, you know, stay here. So that when you're in a shopping place and you say, you know, relax, don't touch that, don't do this, don't do that, you're bothering the people, they'll listen to you. And I will tell you that today, my son, people will look at him and they'll say, wow, you know, he's such an incredible kid. You know, I am very gifted to say that it wasn't because of me, because I tend to be a very relaxed a parent who is live and let him find out on his own, even though I've gotten to learn through my own difficulties and my own challenges that, wait, We need limitations. We need to learn about discipline. We need to learn about commitment. We need to learn about order. You know, where you put your toys. You don't just leave them laying around and you don't go there and do it for them. So, you know, I've had to learn through my own self, but I've learned through exposing myself to others. And that's why now I see, you know, again, I see you and I see your, you know, your work and I see your book as being such a great thing to bring to people so that they can become attuned to having this knowledge so that if it comes time, they'll be able to say, oh, I know how to deal with this. Or at least I have a clue as to what choices I have to deal with this.
Right. And the 12 tools of empowerment don't just empower the child, they empower the parents. And that's such a wonderful thing to be able to develop, help a child develop into a wonderful, productive, caring person, a contributing member of society, and someone who has happiness in their life. It is a wonderful thing to be able to do as a parent.
Yes. Well, let's give, I would like to give your website, which I know it's still in the process of being constructed, but for right now, they would be able to, if people want to get your book, it's, you are self-published, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so they'll be able to get the book directly from you?
Correct.
So I'll give the website, and then if you want to give your email out, you're welcome to do so as well. So it's www.rare, which is RARE - interactions.com. That is interactions.com. So again, that's www.rare-interactions.com. And what is your email?
And my email is Jaydra, Jaydra, at success, success, hyphen, point, P jayadrate.com. Again, jaydra at success, success, hyphen, point, pointe.com.
Okay, that's excellent. And, of course, people, if you're listening, you have friends, you know of individuals who have children who are diagnosed, or children just in general, download the PDF on Power to Be You on blogtalkradio.com/Power to Be You, P-O-W-E-R, the number 2, B-E-U. You can write to me also at liveandlearnllc@gmail.com. In the near future, I would say within the next, with the upcoming weeks, Jadra and I are going to be putting together a series of teleseminars where we can actually take the book and dissect it, where we can actually present the different skills. And what I would like to do is also utilize the book and give the parallels between, this specific area that you bring into mind and the coaching from the other side, which is if you're just as a regular person, how do you deal with situations? How do you become aware? How do you empower yourself through skills and through the mindset of beliefs? And I believe that we're in this way, we're able to really encompass a full load of people who would represent, well, you know, I'm not there. I don't have a child who's diagnosed or who's sick, but this is how he behaves. And then for the other side, well, you know, my child has this issue. Well, here we are together, and we're going to present to you skills and tools, the mindset and the solutions to empowering you to help you go forward and, you know, teach parenting skills and teach them from, like you said, you had 5 children. You know, that's a lot. I mean, I have 1 child, but for me, my child, I was a single parent, and I was, throughout my life, I dealt with discovering who I was, what my purpose was, what my vision was, with a lot of, background information that was given to me through my parents, you know,
right,
limiting beliefs,
right,
issues, their issues. So I always fought that, and now I am in a place where I can look at both sides and say, you know what? You know, this is how we need to deal with it. And I also have the story of bringing in grandma into the story of raising a child. Like you said, it takes a community.
It truly does. And
so,
just one last thing I wanted to add is you talked about doing this at the beginning, but just to let parents have the hope of knowing that no matter what age their child is at, they can still make a difference. And
oh,
if they apply the principles, that there can be some success.
Of course. No, I mean about the people that aren't even there yet. You know, like, you know when you say, if had I known that, then I wouldn't be here now.
Right, absolutely. And that's the best place to start, but it's better to start late than not at all.
I know, Jadra. Well, this is terrific. I love it. I know you also work with your husband, and your husband has been very supportive in putting all of this together with you.
Yes, he has.
Well, we have to thank them as well, because, you know, in the late, I think that's where we're coming as a society, where we're recognizing how it takes more than one person, and united we do a lot more than solo on our own.
Oh, that is so true. That's so true. And that's why you and I are uniting to make a difference in the lives of children and families.
Yes. Well, you know, Jadra, I just have to thank you. We have 1 minute left, but I just want to say to the listeners to definitely go online, get this book, let Jadra know, write us your email. We'll let you know what's happening. We're putting down together the newsletter. There's a lot of things that obviously this is all administrative and it takes time, but this is in our hearts and we are going to be, the book is already available. Jadra's there. Her school's there. Her program's there. Take advantage of it. Go to call her, give her a call, do whatever it takes, and pass the information around. Share this audio. Just really be empowered, and let's make a difference together. Because what better gift can you take for your afterlife than to know that you've made a difference in a child's life, just one? Correct, Jadra?
Oh, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity of being able to share what we can offer parents and to give them an opportunity to know that they can make a difference.
Well, Jadra, it's been lovely having you, and I hug you from afar, and power to be you because you have it, and let's just make this rock. Thank you.
Sounds great. Thanks again.